I just think that song I always love. That song makes me want to move, eh? Jesus, You Made a Way. It's awesome. So I'm up here clapping, and Susan's laughing at me. But I just think if we really realized who God was, if we really realized everything He's done for us, every time we hear a song that has His name in it, we'd be like, oh, yeah. Like, so we need to get so excited about who we serve. We serve the living God, the God that loved us so much. It's so powerful. We just sometimes are just, and I'm not saying this to criticize, it's just our human nature, but I think that God is so awesome. And we forget sometimes how powerful and how mighty He is. And He took time to be with us. He cares to be with us. It's amazing. It's just powerful. So today we're continuing our series. This year our theme is Renewed by His Word. Last year we were talking about living in His presence. And I just think, like, again, I want to remind you, because worship is a powerful part of our life. We sometimes are so intent as Christians. We know the song, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. You know, we know that song, and we've heard that whenever we talk to someone about growing in the Lord. We say, read your Bible and pray. But I think we miss one part of who we are as believers, and that's worship. Read your Bible, pray, worship. Sing to the Lord with your voice. Open your mouth and sing to the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. I don't care if you sound awful. I don't care if all the goats in the neighborhood come out to your door whenever you start singing because they think they got friends in the house. Don't matter. Just come and worship the Lord. We need to be in His presence. We need to be in His presence. This is not a religion. This is not just a thing we're going through, another box to tick. This is a life with God. It's powerful. It's awesome. But we need to take it seriously. Not because we're trying to get something from God, but whenever we take this life and this walk with God seriously, His life just flows into us and it changes everything. It changes everything. So we're at the beginning of a year. We're actually beginning of February now, February 4th. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, kind of resetting life, putting a new emphasis on His Word in our life, because His Word will renew us. It won't just like try and polish off the stains, but it'll get inside of us and cleanse us and purify us, and it'll change us from the inside out. All the things that you're struggling to try and do, you know, as you know, you go through life and, you know, you get in a fight with your wife, or you're, you know, angry at your boss, or, you know, you went to that website you're never going to go to again, or you had too much to drink, or whatever it is, and, you know, you're fight, and you're trying to get rid of all the symptoms of sin in your life. And if you just, like, put a priority on time with God and worship and the Word will cleanse you from the inside, and then all these things will just fall off. You know, like, so it's important. God's Word is important to our life, and you know, so, like, we try and make changes, but so many times we change, and then within a week or two, we make these resolutions or these commitments to change, and within 2 weeks, we're back to the old thing. And so what we really need as believers is to have an encounter with God and with His Word. His Word is powerful. His Word will change us. His Word has got the answer for everything we need in life. We need to know Him. We need to see God's plan in His Word, His blueprint in His Word for our lives. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. You know, I don't know about you, but I want new things in my life. I don't want to just keep going around the same old, you know. I remember, like, years ago when I first started pastoring, Tony Miller was in, and he was prophesying for the church, and he said, oh, you've been around this mountain before, you know. And, like, I mean, I think that there's so many times in our life we just keep going around the same old mountain, just round and around and around. The only way to break free from that, the only way to do that is to really put God and His Word as a priority in our life. I don't want to just rewind last year. I don't want to just, like, play it over again. I want God to do some new things in my life. I want to have greater impact. I want to have a greater relationship with God. I want to have more encounters with the Lord. I want that. I want to keep growing. keep learning and have God do some new things in my life. What about you? You want that? So we need that as believers. If we're gonna really survive in this world, if we're really gonna have a relationship with God that changes us and changes others, we need to have His Word in our hearts. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son." The good news is that God already decided He wants you to be like Jesus. He wants you to be like Jesus. He wants us to have the heart of Jesus. He wants us to have the thoughts of Jesus, to have the attitude of Jesus, to be like Christ. That's what He wants. That's why they call us Christ ones, that we're like Christ. So He wants us to have that. He wants our goal is to love like Jesus, to pray like Jesus, and to live like Jesus. We all have thoughts and behaviors, though, that are not Christ-like. And so how are we going to get from where we are to where God wants us to be? How are we going to get our thoughts and attitudes in line with who Jesus is? Well, the way to do that is to get His Word in our heart. Sitting in church is not going to do that. I know people have sat in church their whole life. Some people sit in church their whole life, they don't even know Jesus. They've never had a relationship with Jesus. Other people sit in church and they've given their heart to Jesus as a child or as an adult, and they just never change. They just keep living the same way that they've always lived, and they're going to heaven, but their life on earth still stinks. And really, I mean, that's the truth. We can live the way we've always lived. Salvation's free. It's free of charge. We give our heart to the Lord. We commit ourselves to Him, and we're saved. That's what the Bible said, right? We don't have to change, but it'd be good to change. And if you want to change, God has a way for you to change. You just got to step into His plan. So sitting in church, all that, you know, we have to get into and participate in the process of renewing our minds. Last time I talked about the power of a thought. And sometimes, you know, like we think, well, what difference does it really make how I think? What difference does it make? And so I told the story about my family and salvation. I told about how my dad, you know, grew up. He was a churchgoer. We went to church. We ticked the religious box. But, you know, if we could find a reason to stay out of church on a Sunday morning, at least my dad, because I think my mom was more afraid of God, and she made sure she came so that he didn't strike her with lightning. You know, but my dad wasn't as afraid of God. And so he'd miss church every chance he got. But then one day someone gave him the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. And in that book, it talked about having an assurance that if you were to die, you could go to heaven. And he asked himself, that this thought dropped into his head, if I were to die today, would I go to heaven? And that thought just tortured him, really. He searched everywhere for an answer. And it led him to a place where he surrendered his life to Christ. He gave Jesus his heart, and his whole life was changed. We went from being a family that never went to church. Well, occasionally went to church. We went to church. I remember the peppermints. You know, my mom would give us a half a roll of peppermints and say, be quiet, and we would sit there and do our thing. You know, but all of a sudden, we're going to church every night. Somebody's house here, some Bible study there. It's like we got drug everywhere. We had drug problem. We got drug everywhere, you know. So we went, and our life was changed. My dad, you know, became, you know, a speaker, spoke around really across the country, you know, for Full Gospel Businessmen, and then got called to pastor. And then now I'm a pastor, and you know, we all as a family participate in ministry, and our children love God. And so that one thought, if I were to die today, would I go to heaven? Has changed many lives. Many lives. Over 1,000 people walked by my dad's casket when he died, and probably there was another thousands that never did. But like, his life had impact for the gospel. Does a thought matter? It matters. Your thoughts matter. They change the course of your life. It's important for you to listen to God. And then to pursue the thought that God puts in your heart. You know, Eve, Bob talked about, you know, it works for good, works for bad. Eve got a thought in her mind, well, if I ate the fruit, would I really become like God? Because that's what the devil told her, you'll become like God. And so she got duped and she ate the fruit. And that one thought took down mankind. And we all are living through what we're living through because one thought. So one thought, good or evil, can take you down a really bad road. One biblical thought can change your life. But you're not going to have biblical thoughts unless you get into the Bible. You're never going to have God speak to you about the Word of God until you really read the Word of God and know the Word of God. Here's the thing, though. You do not have to change. You can stay the same. Yeah, it's good. Go ahead. Do what you want. This is the victory God gave you. He's going to give you heaven. If you like the way your life's going, just go ahead and live the same old way you've always lived. I think it's dumb. I think it's actually, I know we're not supposed to say this word. It's not polite. Stupid. It's stupid. If you don't want to change, you could stay the way you are, but it's kind of stupid. Really, because God has a way better life for you. A way better life. It's all, your salvation's bought and paid for. The only thing that is needed is you receive the gift of salvation. But if you want more in terms of what God has for you and what He's planned for you, then you might want to consider change. You guys want more? So four people want more. Us four and no more want change. Do you want change? I'm not asking for a response for me, but God, I think, sometimes wants to hear us open our voice, open our mouth so He can hear our voice. So, today I want to spend some time talking about working out. It's a good thing to be doing at the beginning of a year, right, is to work out. Well, do you know in the Bible it talks about a workout? There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about a workout, and I want to read this scripture to you this morning. It says in Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." How many of you have ever started working out before? Anybody? Worked out, spent some time in the gym, and it's kind of fun the first 2 days, especially if you have someone going with you. But then, if you do it early in the morning, like I know, Andrea runs, like, how early do you run? 6? 5:30? 5:30 in the morning she goes out running? That would feel good to me for about 30 seconds. but like, we work out, and we start, and it's like, it doesn't always go the way we planned, so we give up. And same with our Christian walk. God told us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So this verse could be a bit confusing because we just talked about how your salvation is paid for. You don't have to do something to be saved. You just have to receive it. But it's not talking about working here for your salvation. It's talking about working out your salvation. It's talking about putting it into your life. This verse is telling us to work it out, and working it out with a reverence and a respect for God. I think that's something we've lost in church world. We've lost our reverence for God. We've lost our respect for God. We sometimes think of God. There was this whole time, like when I was in youth ministry, where everybody's talking about God's my bud. God's my wingman. God's my, you know, whatever. And I was like, it makes me want to throw up. Like, really, because God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, but God is still God, and He's still powerful, and He's still mighty. And just to fathom the depths of His love, like, even if you don't go on what He could do to fry us, if that's what He so chooses, or to turn His back on us, think about the power that He's made available to us through Christ. Think about that and have reverence for that. Have respect for God. Like, if somebody shows me respect, I want to respect them. And God has shown us as people respect. He said, "I love you with an everlasting love." He said, "I'm committed to you. Behold, I will never leave you. I will never forsake." There's all this scripture about how much God loves us. So we need to work out our salvation with reverence and respect for God. This is the process of growing in the Lord. You don't have to grow, but it's good to grow. It's valuable to grow. You can have something. You can have something, but if you don't really know how it works, if you don't really understand what you have, if you haven't really practiced with it or gotten acquainted with it, it's easy to have something and really not really have all the advantages of having it. So like there was this guy who came out of the backwoods, and he lived off the grid, and he wanted to he cut his own wood, and he'd take care of everything, you know, himself. And his saw broke, so he came into the city to buy a new saw, you know. So he says to the salesperson, "I need a saw. I need to cut wood because I heat my house with wood. I need to cut wood." So the salesperson takes him over to the chainsaws and says, "Well, here, these are great." So he looked at them. He saw them. He said, "Well, that's good. I'm going to take one home." And then he took it home. And after about a week, you know, he came back all frustrated and tired out. And he said, "This thing doesn't work. It's a piece of junk. It's garbage. My old saw worked better. It's broken." And the guy said, well, he didn't understand what was going on. So he took the saw from him. He put some gas in it. He started it. He ran it. And he says, "I don't understand. It should be fine." And the old guy from the backwoods says, "Well, what was all that noise?" Because he didn't know that there was a motor that he could start and would cut wood. I'm going to explain it to you now. Sorry. I'm really bad at telling jokes. I think I'm just going to have a joke. I'm going to get Ed to come up, tell the joke, and then we'll move on from there because I just don't really, you know, do well with jokes. But the idea of a chainsaw is you start it up, the chain spins, but if you don't start it up, the chain just moves back and forth as you're running on the wood, right? So you can have something and not really understand how it works, and it'll have no value to you. It could actually make you feel like more frustrated. So sometimes we give our heart to Jesus and we don't really grow in the Lord, and we get more and more frustrated with our walk with God because we feel like we can't have any fun. Everybody else has fun and we're just Christians. We got to go to church on Sunday. They want us to give money. They go, it's awful. Like, why would we want to do this? But you're missing the point of having a relationship with God and growing in His Word. You guys all understand the chainsaw story now? Okay. I was so careful thinking it out because I knew. Anyway, so I think it's the same with us as believers. You know, we give our hearts to Christ, but we don't grow in Him. We don't work out our salvation in our life, and it becomes a burden to us. We feel like we're missing out on all the fun. But we need to work out our salvation. If you work out your salvation, it'll grow stronger and you'll understand it more. You know, if you go to a gym, right, and you start doing curls, do you all of a sudden get biceps and triceps? No, they're there, right? But you work them out and they become stronger. They become more defined. Some people, they get so big, they walk around like this all the time, you know. And so, like, we develop what we already have. And God has given us so many things, but we just haven't developed in them. We haven't learned to use them. We haven't found the full value of them. And we need to do that. We need to get into God's Word and to learn how he works. We need to work out our salvation. We need to develop and make things stronger and healthier. We need to take what God has already given us and know this. We have everything we need, the Bible says, for life and godliness. We just need to work it out. We need to develop it. We need to make it stronger. So it says in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, this is from the Living Bible, "For as you know him better, he will give you, through his great power, everything you need to live a truly godly life. He even shares his own glory and his own goodness with us. And by that same mighty power he has given us all the other rich and wonderful blessings he promised. For instance, the promise to save us from the lust and rottenness all around us and to give us his own character." Right? So he's given us, and he's given us his power to walk it out and work it out. And when you work out your salvation, you're going to begin to know what you really have. You're going to know how to apply it to your life. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit, but we don't develop because we don't pray in the Spirit. We don't listen to the Spirit. We don't follow the Spirit. If we would do this, if we would listen to the Spirit, if we pray in the Spirit, if we follow the Spirit, we would grow in our life with God. And we would become stronger. And we would learn more about the Holy Spirit, more about what the Holy Spirit wants for our lives. So you're not working to get Him. You're working to experience more of Him. When you work out your salvation, you're going to develop some things that do not, you're not going to develop things that don't already exist. But you develop, walk in, and discover all that God already has planned and prepared for you. There's everything is already there for us. We just need to develop in it. We need to grow in it. We need to learn about it. In Philippians 2:12, same scripture, in the Amplified Bible, it says to work out, to cultivate, to carry out to the goal, and to fully complete your own salvation. Are you cultivating? Are you taking care of? Are you working out? Are you bringing to completeness the seed of God's word that He's planted in your heart? Are you doing that? Are you letting God's word grow? I remember when I was a kid, we had to plant gardens. We had some gardens. And I like digging holes, and I like putting things in the holes. So I like, you know, planting trees. I don't mind getting soil ready. Like when I planted my lawn, I walked around. I got 2 to 3 acres of lawn. Two of it I did with a walk-behind rotor tiller. I just walked behind the rotor tiller, and I prepared the ground, and then I, you know, leveled the ground, and then I planted the seed. The only thing I never really liked, I didn't like all the work that was between the planting and the harvesting. Anybody like pulling weeds? Anybody find that their favorite job? Like Christine and I do the beds out front. I would say Christine does the beds out front. I carry the buckets of weeds for her. But like I hate picking weeds. And to remember to water things, you know, and to keep that the situation ready for things to keep growing. So I liked planting. I didn't like taking care of things in the middle. So when the harvest time, I liked picking, you know, like we used to go pick the beans and we'd pick different stuff. And I liked eating those things. But if we didn't take care of it in between, there wasn't much to pick. Right? And it's the same in our life with God. We like the early part of things. We like when we're learning something. But in the middle of it, we have to cultivate. We have to keep working at it. We have to keep making the ground ready and fertile and clean so that it's not fighting with weeds, and make sure there's enough water and nutrients there, right? So we need to keep allowing that word of God to keep growing in us, but we have to prepare the ground. We have to keep working at it. Are you cultivating, carrying out to full completion your own salvation? Are you doing that? Are you seeking out all that God has for you and walking in His ways, asking for His kindness, or are you just throwing some seed around and hoping for the best? People do that. You know, throw enough stuff at the wall and hope something sticks. Well, and that's how a lot of us live our Christian life, and we wonder why we don't understand how come things are happening the way they're happening. If we get God's word in our heart, we'll be prepared for whatever comes our way. So again, Philippians 2, verse 12 from the Message Bible says, what I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning when I was living among you. You lived in responsive obedience. And now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. Are you energetic in your life of salvation? Are you excited about what God's doing in your life and what God's working out in you? John here is telling his... Oh, no, sorry. I'm jumping ahead. Are you a fan? We're going to have a Super Bowl party today. And I know, like, in my house, I have a lot of sports fanatics. I'm not one of them. But, like, the other day, I'm in my house, and like, I hear this scream come from the basement. And I'm like, right? Because apparently my son Logan's team, the Chiefs, traded their quarterback to Levi's team, the Redskins. And he felt it was a bad trade. So he sounded like he was dying in the basement screaming so loud, right? And I'm like, need the paddles to get my heart going again, right? He's energetic in his love for football. If you hear these guys, like I remember last February, we went on a holiday and we only had one TV in the condo we rented in, so we had to watch SportsCenter all day. These guys are energetic in their life with God. And then we have our, you know, our town Seahawks fan sitting back there, and he's like, his car has got Seahawks all over it. He's got tattoos of Seahawks on him. He wears, I've never seen him in a clothes that, I've never seen you without wearing something Seahawks in my whole life, right? So Mike is energetic in his being a fan for the Seahawks. But are we energetic? Are we fanatic about our walk with God? Are we excited about it? Are we pushing into it? Are we researching it? Are we listening to, like, Jesus Line on TV, like, so that we can hear, you know, all the news about what Jesus is doing and all the trades that are being made or whatever, right? But, like, so are we being energetic in our walk with God, right? Are you engaged in working out your own salvation? Are you energetic about it? Are you walking around with a long face saying, it's too hard, I can't do it, it's too hard to serve the Lord, I don't know how to grow in the Lord? What I would say is go for all that God has for you. Buy into the mission. Get excited about what God has for you and keep going after Him. When you stand before God someday, right, you want to be able to say, I bought into the whole thing. I loved your word. I bought in. I sought out your will for my life. I followed this plan the best I could, and I'm coming here today, and I'm just trying to present what I've done to you, and I want to stand before God. I don't know about you. This is my scripture, though, and have Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to stand before God someday and say, well, you know, I didn't really believe all that stuff you wrote in the Bible. I didn't even really seek out, you know, your will for my life. I didn't really even really put that much time and effort into it. I want to be energetic. I want to live my life full out. I want to leave everything on the field. I don't want to die with a bit of energy left in my body that I could use to serve the Lord. It's how we got to live. We need to live full out for God. We need to buy in completely to what He has for us. John, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Bob talked about that this morning, the truth. So John here is telling his good friend Gaius that he wants him to prosper in all things and be in health just the same way that his soul is prospering. So it's important for us to have our soul prosper. It's important for us to grow in the Word of God, to have the Word of God grow in us. It's really important for us as we walk. So renewing the mind is important as we live life here and as we walk in God's will and God's way here. It actually affects how things go in our life and how we respond to the things that go wrong in our life. It's important. And why was his soul prospering? Gaius, why was his soul prospering? It goes on to say that the truth that is God's word was in him and he was walking in it. Is God's word, is the truth of God's word in you? When you're going through something or if you're coming up to an opportunity, does God's word speak from the inside of you because it's in your heart and you've thought about it and you've grown in it and you've cultivated it and you've got excited about it? Many people have things they believe that are a bit strange. Like we all have some kind of weird belief system sometimes, right? And especially our weird beliefs. We believe so strongly, right, that when people ask us, well, why do you believe that? Well, I just believe it. Well, why? Well, because I believe it. I read it on the internet. It's got to be true, right? but we can take God's word, right, and know that this word has everything we need for life and godliness. It has every answer. It has a response to every question. It is the source of everything we need to know. And so this is the truth. This is the truth. And if we have the truth and we walk in the truth, then we're going to have a prosperous soul. And when we have a prosperous soul, then we can prosper and be in health. We need, though, to have a prosperous soul. You know, so we believe all kinds of things. And sometimes we believe things because things have happened to us. Right? And they're based on certain things. But like I think about, you know, I've driven a lot in my life. I've probably driven over 1 million kilometers, maybe more, like maybe 1.5. I've just driven so much in my life. And I've had a couple accidents, you know. Nothing very big until a couple years ago when I'm parked at, you know, close to Walmart and Welland there at that stoplight on Woodlawn. And a guy rear-ended me probably going 40 or 50 kilometers an hour. And I knocked my head kind of stupid, and I'm not sure I'm straight yet, but I'm working on it. But like, I had, like, severe back pain for 2 or 3 years, and like, I really became fearful. Like, before, on a day like today, I'd be just doing my 50 miles an hour, driving down the road and just doing my thing, and I'd be all at peace and joyful, and, hey, look at snow. This is fun. Is that me making all this noise? Can I have the handheld, Bob? Okay. All of a sudden, every time I see a car come up behind me kind of fast, I'm like, ah, it's going to hit me. And I'm driving on the road this morning, and I'm all like, you know, little old guy, just paranoid. And like, I've driven so many miles, and hardly ever anything has ever happened to me. And the truth is probably no one's going to hit me for a long, long time, or maybe never again. But my mind is so convinced of the truth that that guy is going to hit me that I can't seem to shake it. The higher truth, though, is the Bible said that God has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. The Bible said that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And so God's truth is higher than that truth, and I need to get that truth into my heart, and I'm working on it. I drove to church this morning. I didn't stay home and cry in the corner and say, it's too snowy. Come. You know, so we need to change the way we think. We have to accept a higher truth. There's truth to the fact that someone could hit me. Someone could bang into me again and hurt me again. It's true. But the higher truth is God's taking care of me. I could trust in him. He's got me. And I just need to settle in that. So some people, though, are lonely. Because whenever they've been in a relationship with someone, they've got hurt. You know, I know people that have been hurt so many times. They don't even want to be around their kids anymore. They don't even want to talk to their kids anymore. Because relationship equals pain. And so they go through life lonely. And even believers don't do relationships because pain. And that's sad because God has... This whole thing we call salvation and Christianity, and it's a relationship with God, and it's a relationship with each other. It's with God. The Bible says this, that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It says in Proverbs that I'll put the lonely into families. He promised us that he would restore our soul, that he would heal all the broken things in our life. And so the reality that you're facing, if you're that person, is that, yeah, relationships equal pain. They always have for me. But the higher truth is that God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. He's called me and set me in a family. There's people that will love me and care for me. I could have a better life. But you have to get that word into you. You have to work that word in. You have to meditate on it. You have to think about it. It has to come from the inside of you. When you know, start, like, I remember when Christine started nursing, every night she came home, she's all, I don't know if I did it right. You know, and now she comes home, she's all relaxed. Oh yeah, it was a good night. Did this, did that. Because now it's inside of her. Now she goes and does her job because it's all there.
right? And when you do something for a while, you learn how it works and you can just do it, live in it. And we do that with God's word too. We need to get it down in our heart. If you don't renew your mind to God's word, when the hard things in life come against you, then you have nothing to power you through it. You collapse. You begin to believe that it was all in God's will and God's plan, that is the cross that God wants me to carry or bear, and it's not. It's not. God has a better life for you. God has a better life than you could ever ask or imagine, is what the Bible says, right? But you need to get energetic in your life with God. You need to cultivate your heart and plant God's word in it. You need to let the Bible get in there, because the Bible solves the issues. It solved the relational issues. It solves the racial issues, the economic issues, and the family issues, because it is the truth. And if the truth is in you, it will set you free. The Bible says that, you know, like Jesus, right, was the Word, right? And that's what it says in 1 John, or in John 1. As the word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in a relationship with Him. Many people spend their life in church but never really decide the Bible's true for me. The Bible is true for you. You see people that have good life and good relationship with God, and sometimes we're jealous about that. We want that for ourselves. But God, as we read right at the beginning of the service, that He's already predestinated us to be conformed to the image of Jesus, to be like Jesus. And the whole thought of this series is, if we start thinking the thoughts of Jesus, we'll start living the life of Jesus. And so get God's word in your heart. Get it in your heart. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other truth than Him." There's no other truth. He is the truth. He is the truth. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So as we make the Word the truth that we believe, we'll have a prosperous soul. And then everything else can come. You know, there's just scripture in the Bible. Everybody knows it. Like, if you've been around church world for any amount of time, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." This is the principle. It's seeking God first, getting to know God first, getting His word in you, worshiping Him, praying, spending time, meditating on how God's word can work in your life. You know, like, I don't want to live in fear when I drive. I still like to drive to relax. So I need to keep working out God's word. I need to keep, you know, imagining how God's word can work for me. You know, like, so God has not given me a spirit of fear. So, like, I'm just can drive down the road. I don't have to be fearful. So I just, you know, fun. It's good. But I have to work it into my heart. So just a couple scriptures and we're going to close. John 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through your truth." This is Jesus speaking about us. Your word is truth. John 8, verse 31 and 32 says, "And Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" The question is, what will you receive as truth, and how much will you invest to get your mind renewed? It takes time. It takes commitment. You don't have to do it. No one's forcing you to do it. I'm inviting you. God's inviting you into a changed life. But you have to want it. You have to go after it. You have to seek Him. So, Lord.